Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous day, October the 2nd, 2011, and a chance for us to have, well, maybe a chance to share some very meaningful things as I hope to answer some questions in a way that is deeply helpful to you. I don't know if you've ever heard me before here on KRXA, but if you have, you kind of know what I do. If you'd like to know a little bit more, if you're new, about what Aspire is all about, what I teach, what I do, please come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. If you go there, you will learn a great deal about my offerings. It's easy to misunderstand a lot of the things I say, and what basically I'm doing is offering you an insight, maybe something a little different from the common norm that most people think. So if you go to the website at aspire.org, you'll see a lot of things there. Old radio programs I've done, even new ones that haven't been broadcast yet. You can watch my podcasts, my video casts, and read my commentaries if you like. They're all there for you to be of service to your life. And if you're really daring, you can see my TV program now on YouTube. We're going full on to YouTube. If you go to my website at aspire.org, you go down there to the bottom of the page, and you will see YouTube under pages. I think you'll find it. No, I'm sorry, under contact. Forgive me, contact. I think you'll find it very interesting. The series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, is up right now, and we're going to be putting more and more up as time goes on. So please, please enjoy. All right, I have some wonderful questions. The first one comes from Kathy. What do you mean by let love live you? This sounds very strange to my ears. Kathy, you know, I get a lot of this. I really do. I don't understand personally why this is so confusing to people. I don't understand why the words let love live you is so very, very difficult to understand. Maybe it's because of the hate that we live in. Maybe it's because of the fear we live in. Maybe it's due to a lot of the things we just don't simply understand based on our DNA and how we have culturally been brought up in the society. But it is the essence of living. You are not here, and I are not here, as it were, to have everyone and myself live according to the manner of my desires, my fears. We live more as an impulse than a consciousness. Have you ever noticed that? We live more as an impulse. What do I mean? Well, we live impulsively in fear, in anger, in hostility. We live in the impulse of what is going on within our emotional nature, and we allow that to really grab us and get us. Most of the time, if you really look at it, you will see something is chasing you. Some monster is chasing you on the inside. Oh, it could be, you know, your past, some fear of the past, something going on in your world, whatever. Everybody has something that they're running from within themselves, something they don't want to remember or can't remember, and yet affects them. I can't tell you how many people I have worked with in my sessions with students that had these very definite fears cropping up in them. They don't know why. They don't get why. And for the most part, they really don't want to know why, because then they have to deal with things the way they believe emotionally. And that's very uncomfortable for people, unless it has something to do with pleasure. We're a very shallow culture and very shallow society. So when I say to you something like, let love live you, this sounds so foreign and so strange and so difficult to do. This sounds like something maybe some of you believe you're already doing. Like, well, I know love. I'm a passionate person. I know my emotions. It is not emotional. Love has nothing to do with passion. And that is a part of the impulse that causes us to have great difficulties in our life. So what do I mean by let love live you? Kathy, listen to me and try to understand with all of your heart. Your heart is not about passion and emotion. Your heart is about love, compassion, forgiveness. It's a culmination. Love is involuntary. It is a place inside you where you connect, not to another person, but where you connect to life, the universe, everything. It is a state of inner being. And it is not achieved through mind. It is not achieved through emotion. It is achieved through compassion. It is achieved through meditation. It is achieved through love. Real love occurs separate unto itself. It is not something you can look at in your life and think to yourself, oh, I can just get it. The quieter you are, the more meditative you are, the more you live meditatively, the deeper will be your experience of love. And then you will truly know. But if you live as desire, ambition, and pride, if you live in unresolved hatred, and let me give you my definition of that. It's about not living according to the manner of fear and anger, unresolved fear and anger. The whole effort of a spiritual life is to find this great love within us that is already just sitting there, having its way with us, and to let it have its way without the need for there to be some kind of ambition and pride, some kind of payoff. Everything we do seems to have some blooming payoff in our life. And because we choose to live like that, we miss the entire event of our living. To let love live you means that something greater than my urges, something greater than my mania, something deeper than my fears has been allowed to permeate through me, to imbibe me. This is why meditation is so deeply important. This is why I offer Tibetan pulsing meditations to help people understand that intrinsic love that lives within. And never to allow that to fall prey to my mind, my ego, my vanity, and my pride. This is all about keeping a very even keel on the inside. So, Kathy, you asked me, what do I mean by let love live me, live you? It means not to live according to the manner of my desires. Not to live according to the passions of my urges. And I know many people just can't go there. They just can't do something like that. It's just too difficult. And that's why the world is the way it is. Because you can develop, and I can develop, a mania for anything, even doing very destructive things, for the sake of just having what I want. That is the saddest aspect of it all. I have to want love more than wanting what I think is love. And that's the key. To want love more than wanting what I think is love. It's a very important thing in my life. People usually just blow this kind of thing off and never really think about it too much. I would hope you would be very wise on the inside of yourself, Kathy, and really listen to what I am saying. People want changes in this world. They want it in socio-economics and politics and all sorts of things. It isn't going to happen. Religion can't deliver and politics can't deliver. The changes we need in this world can only be occurring through love. And too many of us are unavailable for that experience, I am sad to say. So, Kathy, I say to you, in all due respect, let love live you. and forget the rest. And forgive me. Namaste. It's a very difficult thing for people to trust and love. They trust and hate, just like that. It's really easy. But to trust in love, to really feel the nature of love and what love is, that is something that most people just can't do. And because they can't do it, a lot of ugly things happen in our world. Next one's from Bob in Los Angeles. You say live for those things that you can take with you through death. So what is that, Bob? Bob, I want to thank you, first of all, for your question. And I want to thank you for your other kind comments about the radio program and the YouTube experience there with the sound of one hand clapping. That was very kind of you. Yes, I say this all the time. You know, people say, well, you know, what should we be living for? What is there to live for? I hear this a great deal. People who have accomplished a great many things in this world, like money, power, prestige, they often ask, well, I've achieved it all. I've done it all. Now what? And that's an interesting karma for a person that has achieved everything in the world but has lost themselves in that effort. And I believe it was Jesus that said that one. What is a man's advantage if he gains the whole world but loses himself? That's a very powerful teaching. And most people would not question it, look at it, or even care much about it. What is more important to you? The achievement of love, silence, or money, power, prestige, comfort? Most people are looking for comfort in life because they have found no love in their life, Bob. They have never found any love in their life. Isn't that pathetic? Isn't that sad? And the reason they have found no love in their life, they have found no meaning in their existence, is because they never bothered to turn around and look at what was chasing them. What was it that was motivating them? Most people are motivated strictly by fear, desire, ambition, and pride. All of these things gather together and make up a human being's lifetime. And that is about as far as it goes. We wander around like nomads in this country, in our life. We have no idea where we're going or what we're doing. We're lost in a desert looking for some oasis at the end that we think will bring us happiness or fulfillment. And it just doesn't exist. But try to tell people that. Try to tell someone that what they are seeking does not exist. It is very difficult for people to understand this. Listen to me, Bob. The only thing I can take with me through death is the state of being, the presence of love. If I do not achieve this love, if I never come to this state of being called love, if I never make it, then my life has been wasted. One more life lived, wasted. Not utilized for the meaning and the significance of something greater than myself. Never ever, Bob, listen to me. Never have conversations with the lesser part of yourself. Never live as the lesser part. Always live in the compassion of a great love that lives within you, and never be fooled by the manner of appearances. Don't get caught up in the desire, ambition, pride thing. Don't strategize about how you can get even with another person. Look at life from the point of view of a great love. Nothing is as it seems here. We like to believe it is, but it's not. Nothing is as it seems. So it is very, very important for me to look at life from a different perspective and point of view. If I am living my life according to the manner of my desires, if I'm living my life to try to avoid what hurts, if I'm living my life to have entertainment constantly, I am missing. What can you take with you through that? That you were amused for most of your life, that you were frightened for the most of your life because you went to horror movies or something like that? Or you watched pathetic, you know, girly movies with love stories that don't truly exist? It rarely turns out happy ever after for most people. And even when it seems to, it changes because people change. You have to look at life not from the point of view of negative or positive. You have to look at life from the sake of life itself, the relationship I am having with it. Everything we do in this world matters. Every nuance of our life matters. Every way in which I touch this and I touch that matters. If I seek harm of another person self-righteously, that matters. If I seek forgiveness from someone who has been unkind, that matters. Never think it doesn't matter. It does. Everything matters. How you pick up a fork, how you fold your laundry, everything matters. And that's why I say to you, let love live you. In that letting of love live you, you change the way you have relationship with life. So I say to you, live for those things that you can take with you through death. And don't be concerned about anything else other than that in your life. If you can do that, if you can live that way, a great blessing will occur. If you and I don't live that way, over and over and over again, it is Groundhog Day. Bob, thank you for watching and listening to Aspire. I'm deeply grateful. And please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. The last question comes from David in Salinas, who listens to us here on KRXA every week, he says. Greg, what is real? I'm beginning to doubt anything is really real. Am I going crazy? No, you're not going crazy. No, the only thing that is real is that which your mind cannot recognize, cannot think about. Anything my mind can think about is not real. I've conjured it up. I think I'm thinking. I think this is that, and I think that is this. How do I know it's real? How do I know my mind hasn't come to some conclusion about anything that it faces based on its need to have right and wrong, good and bad playing out? Isn't it interesting how it all works? The mind is always looking for reason and theory. The mind is always looking for objects and things and then applying a reason and a theory. So the whole thing is really about illusion and delusion, my megalomania as it is, where I'm totally deluded. So maybe taking the attitude that I don't have to think about what is real, that I face everything with compassion and openness, maybe what is real in any given situation can be revealed to me when I'm no longer trying to make things the way I want them to be, when I'm no longer interested in trying to manipulate everything the way I try to manipulate it to get what it is that I can believe in. I've watched my mind do all sorts of rationalizations. I have watched it over and over and over again. It thinks it knows what is right. It thinks it knows what is just. It thinks it knows up from down and in from out. But it really doesn't. It really doesn't. So when I'm meditating, and I go a little deeper and a little deeper, and I realize, my gosh, the deeper I go, the less I know. Hey, that rhymed. That's pretty good. All of a sudden, I begin to self-realize. Nothing that my mind, as Gregory, can think is real. And I have conjured up things before they've even happened. I have looked at everything, and I've already conjured up the results of it, how good it is, how bad it is. I've already worked it all out in my brain. So anything I meet is preconception. I'm not spontaneous when I live that way. I'm not allowing. I am just trying to control everything and keep it the way I want it to be so I can think about it. I have reduced it down to a theory and a belief that I believe, for me, is workable in my mind. That doesn't make it real. That just makes it workable in my mind. So nothing is as it seems. And if I look at my life from this perspective and make decisions based on it, what have I done to myself? And this is what most of us have done. Meditation is about a certain relationship with the no-thingness of life, where I'm not thinking about right and wrong, good and bad, but I am dropping mind. I am dropping right and wrong, good and bad. I am entering into something that is deeply beautiful. Beauty is not a thought. Beauty is not something that is a concept. And the things in life that are most beautiful are the things in life that are most true. Everything in life is beautiful. If you can look past the thoughts that tell you what it is. And that, my friend, is what it's really all about. It is difficult for most people to even hear a message like this, much less understand it, because they have already gotten a preconceived notion of what it is their mind can accept. People feel stupid at times when they hear something like this because they don't get it, and they don't want to get it, because to get it might change their life, and a known evil is better than an unknown. And anything the mind can't think is an unknown evil. Forgive me for that one, but it is true. Thank you for listening. And I deeply appreciate it, Rick. And you're very kind. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be able to be of service to you in, I would love to hear from you. Please come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And there on the main page, you will see contact to the upper right. And please feel free to email me. I have a wonderful workshop that's coming up on Saturday, November the 5th, here at the Carl Cherry Center in Carmel. On November the 5th, we are going to be having a day of intrinsic love. We're going to be working on two meditations that I presented in September, and then we're going to be doing some gestalt, and I'm getting my students ready, and you're welcome to join us at any time. I'm getting them ready for the Mount Madonna experience that we're going to be having in November. I would be honored to have you there. The donation for the day, basically, we meet at about 9:30 in the theater room, and we go to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And this includes your lunch. The donation is $50. Parts of it are tax deductible, about $40 of it is. And I will send you a receipt, of course, for your income taxes. And you can join us for something really meaningful, something that has a purpose that is beyond a purpose. As Buddha said, to live beyond the beyond. And you just might leave with a different point of view. Now, most people don't want their point of view changed, and they don't want to move into anything deeper than maybe Dancing with the Stars or something like that. So if that's where you are, you probably wouldn't enjoy this. But if you're looking for something that is outside the box a little bit, come and join us. The group is really a lot of fun. We do a lot of laughing, believe it or not, and a little bit of crying here and there. But mostly, it's about finding the meaning of life. Also, on the website, if you go and take a look at aspire.org, you'll see my year-end gift to you. Every year, I make a gift to those of you who have made a donation or are interested in having this DVD sent to you. Every year, I choose some story, some what I call spiritual story that I have collected over the years of my travels inwardly and outwardly in India. And this year it's a Sufi story that my students love called The Holy Shadow, about a very interesting man who just wanted to do a great deal of good without ever knowing it. Two of my more beautiful students put this together with me. One of them did the animation and the other one put it together. And we did it all on, by the way, an Apple computer. But if you would like this sent to you as my gift, a way of thanking you for being in my life, a way of thanking you for supporting Aspire here on KRXA and on YouTube, just a way of thanking you. Thanking you for everything that has made love possible in helping me to help humankind. I'd be honored to send it to you. If you go to the website at aspire.org and you let the banners go by, you'll see my year-end gift to you. Just click on it and you can order yours today. It's absolutely free, no obligation, so you don't have to sit there and cling to your wallet. But I would love to send it to you. These stories, I think, are very interesting. There's a little video there explaining about YouTube and how we're converting to YouTube. And I give you maybe a little bit more of an insight about what Aspire is all about. There we go. Gosh, it happens fast, doesn't it? I'm very grateful you listened, and I hope some of you will become sponsors to help us sustain Aspire here on KRXA. We have to pay for our airtime, as you might know, and it is only through your tax-deductible gifts that we are allowed to continue. So I hope you will consider the idea of becoming a sponsor and helping me to keep the radio program on the air and to serve humankind in this way. I really deeply appreciate it. This program is heard on Saturday and Sunday at 9:04. It's about all that anybody can stand. So I hope that you will join us each Saturday and Sunday. Please forgive me. Namaste.